Every single day, people take unwanted or unused items to thrift in antique stores across the country. But as the saying goes, one man's trash is another man's treasure, and we are here to prove it. We are here to help you identify valuable things before you throw them away. Join us as we show and tell of treasures found and sold by a full-time reseller with the hopes of helping you find some treasures of your own. Welcome to the What's Sold podcast.
Welcome back to the What's Sold podcast. My name is Brandon. I'm here with my good friend, Matt, and we are going to talk to you about selling stuff. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm great. Welcome, everyone. A little chilly this morning.
Oh, it is a little chilly.
But it doesn't stop me. I'm going to get out and get some things done today. You know,
soldier on, looking for treasures.
That's right. Hey, listen, they're there.
Oh,
whether it's cold or hot outside, you know, you got to get out there.
You gave me a little teaser yesterday. I'm very excited to hear this story. We traditionally say that Matt doesn't tell me what we talk about, but he was so excited about this one that he kind of spilled the beans, gave me a little bit of a teaser, and I'm excited about it. This is going to be really cool. So anyway, what are we talking about today, Matt?
So today we're going to be talking about pocket watches and chains or pocket watch fobs. Usually these are antique items. They certainly make pocket watches today still, but the ones that I come across more frequently are ones from the late 1800s to the early 1900s. And so, yeah, I had a really cool sale. I had a really cool few things come in. And so I wanted to show and talk about those. It's the type of thing you can find out at a lot of antique stores, especially, but also thrift stores and things. You might have something laying around. Maybe it's an heirloom or something that was passed on from a family member, and you might not know anything about it. I don't know what this is worth. I don't really know anything. I don't even know if it works. How does it operate? That kind of thing. So we'll talk about some of that. You have any? You ever have any pocket watches at your house? Anything like
that? You know,
that?
You know, I'm a stick pin kind of fancy guy. I'm thinking about.
I'm thinking about going
full early 1900s spats. And stick pins and pocket watch, maybe even, wait for it, Matt, maybe even a monocle. I could roll around town in Asheville. If I wore that outfit, I'm pretty sure I'd be on the cover of the Citizen Times eventually, because I think I would look that good.
Oh, yes.
I do love...
Very steampunk.
Yeah, I do love those old-timey things. I think there's something... Well, number one, the craftsmanship is just so much different than it is today.
For sure.
But before we launch into our discussion on pocket watches, let's talk a little bit about just a real brief discussion on what you do, why you're doing it, and what we're trying to teach people on the show. I know we always say that every week, but it's, I think, helpful for new listeners to kind of know why we're even doing this.
Yeah, in a nutshell, my background is actually in counseling. So I have a master's in counseling. I was a mental health therapist for a number of years. Kind of fast forward to COVID times, I lost the job that I had and was home with young children and still needed to earn income because, you know, the cost of living is high and we needed income from both my spouse and myself. So I had to figure out what to do in this difficult time, which was like many people. And what I landed on was I'm going to try to just find things that I can buy that seem to be undervalued and sell them for more money. I already had some familiarity with eBay as a selling platform. I had used it for many years just as a hobby or just personally. So I was already familiar with it. It wasn't a large learning curve to jump into that. It was just a matter of how do I find the stuff. Now, it was hard because I didn't have a business plan. I didn't have a business loan. I didn't have capital other than just like what I could spare in the meantime. And so that's it. I jumped in. I've been doing it for going on 4 years now. Now I do it full time. I earn more annually now than I made in any other previous career, thankfully. And it allows me some other benefits, flexibility. I still have young children. I can kind of take them to doctor's appointments. They are out of school. I can be there. So that's how I got into it. I do this full time. I find things that are being sold for less than I know that they're worth based on research and experience. And I sell them primarily on eBay, but I also sell locally and a couple other platforms.
Yeah, and so anybody that's listening, you know, Matt is a professional reseller. I am not a professional reseller, but I have learned a lot about things. I'm now looking everywhere for treasures. And not because I want to be a reseller. I think that's a lot of work. You've invested so much of your time. For those of you that don't know Matt or his alter ego, Rusty the Reseller, Matt is a hustler. And I think anybody that's ever owned a small business or done something knows that if you want to be successful at it, You got to have to hustle. It's not, these things don't happen overnight. So anybody that's listening saying, hey, I want to go start scouring attics. That's awesome. But just be realistic about the fact that it's going to take you a while to do it, just like in anything that you're learning. So what we're basically leveraging now is Matt's experience. So hopefully you can maybe skip a step or two along the way to where if you start selling. So
that's a great way to frame it.
Well, without further ado, let's talk about my favorite thing, not stick pins, but I do love them.
Your second favorite.
Oh, I love that. I love this story. All right. Pocket watches.
Okay. Well, before we do that, I just want to ask you, you called me a professional reseller. And so I guess my question is, what's the line there? When do you go from an amateur to a professional?
I think that is a great question. That is a great question. It's probably similar to any profession that we take on, is when we actually start, when it becomes our main career, it's not a hobby anymore. You're not just selling, I found this thing and I threw it up on eBay. And a lot of people get on eBay. I've had this experience. Other people have. eBay is a true merchant site, but it's actually more tilted towards the buyer. So you've mentioned that before that, like, if you sell something, they have 30 days to return it. So it could be very tricky and nuanced. It's not like I'm going to a swap, the good old fashioned ski swap, and I'm selling it and I'll never see that guy again. Buyer beware, right? Caveat emptor. Mm-hmm. This is, eBay is protecting its brand by protecting its buyer so that they keep coming back.
My goodness, we could do an entire...
We should.
We will likely do an entire podcast on sort of the ups and downs and just what to look out for if you're using that platform. But okay, so if I'm selling stuff and I'm making a living at it, I'm a professional. I guess that means that my modeling days, I was more of an amateur.
Modeling.
It was a low entry point. I wanted to have my foot in one door, if you know what I mean.
Oh, but that's the worst, Matt. Hey, listen, save the jokes for the comedians, buddy. Let's get to work on selling some pocket watches.
All right, that sounds good. Well, let me start off by showing you something that did just sell. It is it's a chain. I'm going to hold it up. Now, for those of you who are maybe new or just as a reminder, we're going to have photographs of these up on our website that you can see. So if you're tuning in on your commute or something, you'll be able to still see these. But what you're looking at is a chain. I don't exactly know how to describe it other than it's a link type chain. It's old. This is from the late 1800s. It has a strange sort of, it's not exactly a pendant, but if you imagine, you know what a bolo tie is, right? Yeah. Some of you would go around your neck and then you have this portion that sort of slides up and down. It can loosen or cinch it. Correct. That's what this is. It's made out of, it's metal and it's etched kind of like a floral etching, like a flower, which was very popular sort of in the Victorian era. This I bought at a pawn shop last week. And it was under the case.
Wait. Put the brakes on there for a second, fella. Yeah. We've done a bunch of shows here, and I mean, you've never talked about a pawn shop before.
You got to check everything
out. Do you go to pawn shops regularly?
I don't know if I would say regularly, but I would say that of all the places I go to, thrift stores is number one as far as percentage of time that I'm in a store. Number one would be thrift stores. Number two is probably a combination of estate sales or antique stores. And then when it heats up, it gets warmer outside, then I start hitting yard sales. And I've gone to some pawn shops before. It's just that, you know, oftentimes they know how to evaluate things a little bit more closely than thrift stores and things. And that translates typically to less likely that you're going to find a really good deal. It doesn't mean it didn't happen though. And this is a good example. So this was under the case. It said gold-filled ? You always love that.
Oh, good.
I think it's this, but I don't know. What do you think it is? You know, so it's a pocket watch chain. It has a little clasp on the end. That's what would connect to the ring portion of the top of a pocket watch. I have seen these before. Most of the ones I've come across are just a base metal or they're gold filled, which means it has a small layer of solid gold on the outside of it, covering a less valuable metal base. They wanted $75 for it. Now, something like this, it's pretty ornate. It's pretty large. I know it's fairly heavy. I was like, okay, this is probably 30 or 40 grams just based on my experience. And I have a ring that's 8 grams. I usually use that for comparison of small pieces of jewelry. I knew that if this ended up being gold filled, like they said, it's still worth about $150 to $200 when I resell it. So for me, $75 is fine. Also, if that was going to take 6 months, I probably would have passed. But I know I could sell that within a week or two based on experience of doing it. I got it. I took it back. I did a scratch test on it. Lo and behold, it's actually 10 karat solid gold. So it's 30 or 40 grams of solid gold.
Wow.
Yesterday, it was about $27 a gram. So this was worth about, you know, between around $1,000.
How much did you pay for it?
So $1,100. I paid $75.
Oh, my gosh.
And within about 48 hours, I sold it for $1,010. So I've got this. It's going out today. I need to ship it. That buyer actually bought a bunch of other scrap gold-filled jewelry as well. So that one buyer, one sale, one person was $1,400. And I probably had about $100.
Do you think they're going to melt it down for gold?
The gold-filled jewelry, they're likely going to harvest the gold from it. I don't know for sure. This, though, I mean, I hope that they don't, because it's a really cool functional piece.
Yeah, I was going to say, really cool.
But they may. And frankly, I don't care. Because I got
right.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't spend time thinking, like, well, I wonder what they're going to do with it. I don't have time for that. Like, it's just,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Out the door, something else is coming in. So that's the sort of the precursor to this conversation about pocket watches and chains. The next story goes that last week on Facebook Marketplace, which is another place I sometimes look to purchase and sometimes sell on, I came across a person in Tennessee. I live in Western North Carolina. This person was selling five pocket watches, vintage pocket watches. They were all gold colored. And four of the five of them had chains. Now, I just showed you a chain that turned out to be solid gold. They wanted just under $500 for that lot. I'm looking at it. You can't see what the movement is from the photos. You can just see the faces. It looked like the faces were fairly good condition, not a lot of breakage. Looked like all the hands were intact. And several of the cases were pretty, you know, ornately carved. So I figure, at the worst, if these chains end up not being gold, or gold-filled, if none of these cases are gold, or mostly gold-filled is what I suspected, I know I can sell each of these for about $100.
Okay.
It may be a learning experience. Maybe all I do is make my money back on the pocket watches. But actually, we're talking about 9 items here, because I have 5 watches and 4 chains. I could sell the pocket watch with the chains, but I don't. I take them off because they have standalone value. So if all I can do is get my money back on the watches, I can sell each of those chains for about $50 to $100 each. And there you go. I've got $200 or $300 profit. That's like worst case scenario. So I bought these. They came in. I'm going to show you some of them right now because I've got all of them sitting here. Here's the first one. And these are all going to look a little bit similar. This is a Elgin brand. It is an open-faced pocket watch, which means there is no cover, no case that goes over to hide that. On the back, it's very, you know, shiny. It's kind of carved as well on the back, kind of etched, as you can see as I'm holding that up. Good quality. It works. If you wind it, it will work. And even the second hand works on it. Okay, that's one. That would be considered a size 16. So
how old is that, Matt?
This pocket watch is probably from around 1901 to 1905, something like that.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So it's 100 years old.
Correct. Yep.
And it still works.
Oh, yeah. I've had pocket watches from the 1700s before that still work.
Wow.
It's very impressive, the craftsmanship on these. Here's another one, same sort of situation. This one is an Illinois brand, but it's you know, etched around the edge. It's an open face as well. This one has a chain attached to it, as you can see here. Anyone
Beautiful.
Who's seen a pocket watch will know generally what I'm talking about. And then I'm going to move up to a couple others here. I'll show. These are examples of closed face ones where on one side, the case is concealing the back of the movement. And on the other side, it's concealing the face. On these, the top part here, usually if you just push down on the top, it will pop open the case so that you can see the face of the movement. This is a Waltham brand. And then this other one I'm holding up is an Elgin as well. And these are roughly 1892 to 1900. So again, old, they're gold kind of colored cases. They're etched with various different designs. Very beautiful.
Yeah.
And you know, at the time, these were sort of form, they were function and aesthetics. So it crosses over between jewelry and it's a timepiece. So it's functional. You're using it for a purpose, but also it's dressed up to look nice the way that jewelry is made to sort of adorn you. And people with wealth would buy really expensive, like 18 karat gold fill, you know, gold, solid gold pocket watches. And you see that and you're like, oh, this person, you know, they're doing pretty well. The movements, however, some are valuable, some aren't. It just depends. And we'll talk about that in a moment. So I got all these in. These last two pieces I'm going to show you are one of the pocket watches, again, etched. This would be considered a hunter case because of the way that it's etched. And it's actually called a double hunter because it's etched on both sides pretty heavily and on the side. So it's very beautiful. You pop it open. This is a Waltham brand. The downside of this is that the movement is not currently working. So if you wind it, it doesn't work. I don't know why. It's also missing the crystal. The crystal is what they call the glass portion that covers mm-hmm. the face. So the hands are intact. I have to be careful, though, because those can fall off if I'm not careful because there's nothing holding them in place. Now, I'm going to show you this chain. I'm going to get done with the show and tell portion, and then I'm going to tell you the story. So very heavy chain, very beautiful. This had a clasp on the end of it that was clearly not the same color. And so I could tell very quickly this was not, you know, made this way. Somebody has, after the fact, put a little hook on it so that you can connect it to a pocket watch. Mm-hmm. I do my investigation. I open up several of these, and there's a couple of things you want to look for with pocket watches. Two primary things that give value. One is the movement, and one is the case. Okay, so the movement, what's the age, what's the brand, and you want to open the back of the pocket watch. You can do that if it has a little lip on the case that's meant to put your thumbnail under. You can pop it open. Sometimes it's just a single case. Other times it's a double case, like this one.
Oh, wow.
Inside, you can see the movement itself. Others, you have to just unscrew the back. But once you open up, you're going to see some information. There's a lots of different types of movements, and you may not, especially if you're not familiar, you're not going to know the age of them just by looking at them. They usually state the brand, the manufacturer. In this case, it's Waltham. They're going to give a number somewhere on the movement, and that's a serial number. That is a reference number for that specific model of movement. And sometimes it will indicate the number of jewels. 7 jewels, 17 jewels, 21 jewels.
What does that mean?
Great question. So let's talk about that. Jewels. The purpose of jewels is to be located underneath of the rods or the posts, the pivot points of the movements in the pocket watch. And the idea is they're slick and it's made to pivot on that point so that it reduces friction. Because a pocket watch, you want it to be able to move freely. When you're winding it, you're tightening up a coil, a little spring in there, and as it uncoils, all those cogs move in sequence, depending on the teeth, and it's supposed to keep time at certain intervals. And so if mm-hmm. you have things that cause friction in there, then that can cause positional or mechanical errors, which you don't want if you want to keep proper time. So the number of pivot points relates to the number of jewels. So if you have 7 jewels, you have fewer pivot points, which means it's probably a less complicated movement, and therefore probably not going to keep the time as well. In the world of pocket watches, anything that has 17 jewels or more is considered fully jeweled, which means you don't really need any more than that in pivot points in order for it to operate optimally. So if you open up a movement, you see 21 jewels, you already know this is a fairly intricate, well-designed movement and likely going to carry a higher value than something with 7 jewels. These jewels are oftentimes synthetic, lab-created stones, usually rubies or things. They're flat. If you were to open up a movement, you could see them. So that's jewels. The number is what's most important, because if you get on Google, you can look up pocket watch serial number, and there's a place called the Pocket Watch Database. And it's very intuitive. You just plug in the number, you search for the brand, and it's going to pop up and tell you everything about it. How, you know, what year it was made, what model number it is, what size it is, what the production run was. And they even have links that can take you directly to eBay listings of that exact movement to see kind of what the prices are. So that's the movement piece. You want to look and see what's the movement look like. You want to look it up so you know what you have. If we want to move into the case portion, cases can be made of base metals, but they can also be made of silver and gold, or gold filling, which is, a slight layer of gold on the outside. So what I was banking on, or hoping for rather, when I bought this lot, was that one of these cases might be solid gold, or one of these chains might be gold. Because if it's not marked, the average person selling something wouldn't know. And this is what I discovered. Of these movements, the values of these movements are anywhere from about $75 to $300, depending on the ones that I have. That's good news. 4 of the 5 of the cases are gold-filled. The way that you know that they're gold-filled is if you open up the case and look on the inside of it, oftentimes it has something marked. It will say things, sometimes it'll say the purity amount, 10K, 14K, 18K. Or European hallmarks, 585 and 750. And then it will say sometimes the name of the company that made the case, or the company that made the watch. But the words you want to look out for are the words warranted and guaranteed. So if a pocket watch case says warranted 10 years or guaranteed 20 years, what that's telling you is that the pocket watch case is gold filled. It has gold on the outside of it, and the amount of gold layering translates to the number of years that they note, 10 years, 20, 25. So a 10-year case is going to look like something like, I'm going to give you this example here. A case like this is a gold-filled case. If you look at the back of it, you'll notice it's not terribly shiny. There's some pretty heavy tarnish and wear there. The idea being there's enough gold layer on this that you could use this for 10 years, putting it in and out of your pocket before that gold layer is going to start to wear off and you'll see the base metal. If it says 20 or 25 years, that's a larger amount of gold. You can wear it long, use it for longer before you start to see condition issues. If it doesn't say any of that, it could be made of gold. If it says 10 or 14K, but it doesn't say guaranteed or warranted or the number of years, there's a good chance it's solid gold. So this pocket watch right here that I showed you a moment ago, and this chain, which I also showed you a moment ago, that's quite heavy, I took them into a jewelry store a couple of days ago and confirmed that both of them are solid 10 karat gold.
Oh, wow.
The case, a lot of times, I won't know exactly the weight of the gold case unless I remove the movement and weigh it by itself. But oftentimes, you're looking at 30 to 36, 38% of the weight of a pocket watch is the case itself. And the rest is the movement. So just based on that, This entire pocket watch weighs about 130 grams. So this is a 30 to 40 gram case of solid 10 karat gold. 10 karat, again, $27 a gram. So the case itself is worth about between $1,000 and $1,100 in just gold value. The chain, which I told you before, had an extra thing put on it. As I examined it closely, I realized this is actually not a pocket watch chain. It's just a necklace chain that someone has repurposed. So I took off the little clip, I reattached the links, and now it's a functional necklace. And this weighs 40 grams as well. So this is about $1,050, something like that, in gold. Point is, I spent $500 on five pocket watches and four chains. Just one pocket watch and one chain is worth about $2,000 just in gold scrap weight.
Oh,
I put this watch up yesterday on eBay. It's worth about $1,100 the case, but I bumped it up to $2,000 because it's functional. It's got a movement. In about 2 hours, I had 10 watchers on it already, which in my experience means I've got this underpriced. So I took it down. I relisted it for $2,400. And as I'm sitting here, I've got about five watchers on it. I expect that it will sell in the next day or two. I might take an offer. It might sell by itself. I haven't listed the chain yet, but I stand to, in these two pieces, bring $2,000 back on my $500 investment, and I still have four pocket watches and three chains left to sell.
Well, wait a second. Are you pricing it with the chain and the pocket watch for $2,400 or just the pocket watch?
The pocket watch alone, I listed for $2,400.
So you could stand to make like $3,500
I can make $1,500 profit off of my investment, off of the one pocket watch. I still have the gold chain left and the other four watches and the other chain.
Oh, my gosh.
My guess is this $500 expense is going to translate to somewhere between $3,500 and $4,000 return.
That's awesome.
And the reason is this case is not marked. So it doesn't say guaranteed, warranted. It doesn't even say the purity. But based on the look of it, the shininess, and my experience, I knew I needed further testing. The person who sold this didn't know. They didn't know it was made. I'm sure they didn't know it was made out of gold. Solid gold.
Of course not.
So that all this information is to help people out there to know, like, if you've got a couple things that were passed down to you, don't just throw them up on Facebook Marketplace for $100 a piece, because you might be selling something that's worth thousands of dollars if it's made of gold or silver. Or if the movement is rare or hard to come by, there are big collectors for pocket watches out there still, and it behooves you to do your research.
Yeah. Is there a place you would recommend people go, or just Dr. Google?
The places I go are, I look in eBay to see what sold comparisons are. There's a way you can search for an item, then you look for sold items, and that shows you everything with that search query that has sold in the last 90 days. You can even sort it by the most valuable of those that has sold and look at it that way. That's how I search for things. I use that same pocket watch database to search serial numbers. And then I'll go to a watchmaker or a jewelry store or a pawn shop if they're willing to do it, and they sometimes have machines. Like they'll shoot it with a machine, and it'll tell you what the purity is, and you're not obligated to sell to them or do anything. I, armed with that information, then go back and I say, how much is 10 karat or 14 karat gold selling per gram today? Because it changes daily and multiple times a day. I find out what that is. I multiply it times the weight of that item, and that tells me what the just the metal value is. And oftentimes, like a pocket watch like this is functional. That's rare. The movement's rare. It's worth more than just the scrap gold weight, which is why I bumped up the price, and I'm going to sell it at that.
Oh man, dude. I mean, that, I know I always feel like when you're telling me these stories, I'm always like, no, don't tell them, Matt. Because I, right? You know, they're, all the secrets are gone.
I know.
You know, it's one, had you not been in the right place at the right time, never find the watch. And the second part is you have to know what you're looking for. So it takes time to develop these skills,
which
is what we're trying to teach people.
People ask me all the time, like, hey, aren't you worried about giving people this information? Like, you're just going to make the competition harder. I don't think that that's true. And also the whole point, you know, when I started doing eBay full time, I was watching a lot of YouTube videos and things. I was relying on other people's experience and education in order for me to learn. And I was hoping to avoid some mistakes, which I did. I've made plenty of my own, but I kind of want to put that forward. I'm not about trying to take advantage of people. I want it to be a win-win when I'm interacting with somebody. And I don't want people out there getting rid of things that are super valuable. I don't want them to be taken advantage of by someone else. So I think education is an important thing for everybody. And you know what? If it somehow does make competition harder for me, that's okay. I just need to get smarter and work harder. Like that's what business is about. But I don't want to operate just assuming that everyone is unknowledgeable about something. Because I want everyone to have a good interaction, at least when I'm dealing with them.
Yeah. Well, that's a great way to end this week's show, or one of the shows of this week. Amazing. I want to run out and try to find pocket watches.
Go look for them.
I love pocket watches. I think they're beautiful. I think it's like, it's time to bring them back. A pocket revolution is around the corner. And it's going to be started by Matt Rock. So remember, folks, if you get a chance to review the show, do it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you do your podcast. Remember to subscribe. We're still working on getting the pictures up. We're almost there. It's just taking a little bit more nuance and trickery on our part, but we will get those up so you can look at them. Feel free to email us. What is our email, Matt? Do you know what it is?
I think it's whatsoldpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. So email whatsoldpodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions, thoughts, desires. Don't send us your desires, but any thoughts or questions.
Tell us your secret desires.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Matt. We'll see you again at our next show.
Take care, everyone.